Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged the signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and he kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him, and then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to catch me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11. As they were eating, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and for their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, lay their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
From the beginning, God created us to be part of his life, to share with us his presence. Now we, unfortunately, created to build a barrier. We lied, we cheated, we stole. And that took us away from the presence of God. He had planned after that to save us. This plan has been since the beginning of time, was to save us, to bring that relationship back towards a wonderful community with him. He saved the Jews from slavery. And isn't it wonderful that we have been in slavery and sin, and he's doing the same with us. Jesus built a community at that time, preparing for God's work in the early church. This community were the disciples and those who followed him. He used it as a base to start the mission of God's salvation, which already had begun many moons ago. Similarly, today in our church, this modern day vision for God's salvation is here. We are following the footsteps of the disciples. We are here to minister to the lost sheep. In today's passage, I have observed four outcomes, four actions that we can discuss. Now, I'm giving you what I have observed, what the Lord has revealed to me. The first observation is Judas's betrayal. Now, how is that we can learn from this? Remember who Judas is. Judas is part of the church. Judas is one of us, really. Judas was with Jesus from the beginning. His betrayal was a culmination of events. We'll not go there. But he was part of Jesus' commune. He was there to be part of the mission, to take the gospel outside. But he didn't fulfill that. Why? Now, within our fellowship, we've got to learn from Judas's actions. Now, sometimes we can betray Jesus. And I don't think I'm loosely saying, because I've looked into this and looked at my actions, and I've come across certain things that I have weaknesses in. And I'm hoping to share with everybody. So if anybody's in my shoes, please say amen.
Amen.
We busy ourselves with our own activities. Very self-centered activities. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. Pray for me. I used to attend every match when I was younger. And it took away my time from church. It took away my time from talking to others. The funny thing is, it's a good thing really, going to a match, mixing with all these non-Christians, and we're talking about football. But we busy ourselves with activities that are taking away what we should be doing. We're not making ourselves available to Him. We're replacing Jesus with worldly materials and activities. My son keeps telling me that my TV needs changing. It works. It works. Why does it need changing? But this is the culture. This new model, 4K model has come out. We got to find this. We got to get this. New phone comes up. Ooh, it's faster. We got to get it. We have immersed ourselves in this culture. Unfortunately, we busy ourselves with these activities. It's a form of betrayal because we are looking at ourselves. Jesus should be priority. Our ministry should be priority. We're not using our time wisely. I'm not. I'm very guilty of this. My brother Phil over there will tell you, I'm a lazy boy. I am terrible. God needs doing. Has it been done, Phil? It has been done. Somebody else did it. But I use my time very unwisely. I should be using a lot of my time with people outside, talking to them about my faith, talking to them about Jesus' love, how I have been brought from darkness to light. But laziness makes me ineffective. Oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I sit on my couch and I've got a lovely one. You just sit back, press a button, whee, your legs go up. The second action that we see is a very inappropriate one, because remember, all these people were with Christ. They followed Jesus. They heard what Jesus' message is. They knew. They lived with Jesus. But this guy decided to play Bruce Lee. Swiped his sword out, chopped off the temple servant's ear. Self-righteous anger is no good.
Nope.
What does it tell about Jesus? I don't know if we're up to date with current events, how the church makes headlines on occasion about LGBT issues, about abortion. I mean, couple of years back, there was in America some Christians outside an abortion clinic. They actually shot a health worker because they didn't agree with abortion. Now, what kind of message is this giving the world at large? Self-righteous anger has no place in the ministry. Actual physical violence has no place in Christian life. Matthew 5:39, Jesus said, if somebody strikes you in your cheek, turn the other. It's a very plain message. Turn the other. It restricts the message of love. People cannot see love when actually we are the ones who are being violent. A judgmental attitude denies God's love to be noticed. There's no place for it. The third action that we see is the one that everybody else did. Run. Fear struck all the followers of Jesus at that time. Because I think they saw that Jesus was saying, look, you had me all this time. And now you come after me? Well, not my will, but God's will be done, and scripture needs to be fulfilled. Amen. And so they suddenly feared they're going to be arrested. Ran. We have this fear too, you know. I'm looking at it from my angle. Pressures from society's norms and laws. And we have to follow this. It's simple as this. Someone is paying us to work. I'm a nurse. Someone is paying me to work. And I have to give them 100% of me during the time that I'm working. So it is standard that I give them everything. Because give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But God creates opportunities within that time. God creates moments that He uses you to touch somebody's lives. I can tell you so many instances that I've had. When people come to the eye casualty department, they are feeling really rock bottom because they are in pain. And sometimes something else happens in their life. And an eye casualty is a terrible place because there's 200 people out there. No, I'm exaggerating. There's a lot of people out there. It's full. And you've got to turf them out quickly. Because everybody don't want to wait 2 or 4 hours, you know. So when someone comes in and they cry their hearts out, it's very difficult to say, yeah, but I'm here only for your eyes. So that God opens up avenues where I can actually talk to people. And He does provide a lot of instances. I used to be an occupational health nurse, and He provided me odd occasions where people opened up. And I could say, look, I know you've looked at this. Have you even thought of going to the church? And it opened doors. We have to follow cultural protocols. We are afraid, we fear upsetting Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, because we don't want to upset them. God sent the Afghans, the Syrians, the Iranians, the Iraqis, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Somalis, Yemenis, they're here. God sent them to us. We don't need to go out there anymore. God sent them to us. They are here. But we're worried we might actually cause a little bit of upset. Fear has made us cause inaction. We haven't done anything about it. There are a lot of them here around us. We haven't invited them to our homes. We haven't given them opportunity to see our love, to show them what difference Jesus makes in our lives. I am the same. I haven't. I have ample opportunity. And there's this shop that I go to quite regularly. What's it called? It's near what used to be Gala Bingo. And I go quite regularly, but I never talk about my faith because I'm busy shopping. At the Youth Alpha, the children are telling me that they are afraid to talk about their faith. And all of them, not one, two, three, all of them. You know why? Because they fear that they will be bullied. They fear that they will be ostracized, they will be teased. And this happens to us too. Be honest. It's happened to us too. Because we are so afraid to talk about our faith. Because we don't want to upset people. And the fourth action is this chap who actually follows They captured Jesus. And what happens? He follows Jesus, and then suddenly they notice him, and they go and grab him. And fortunately, he's not dressed like me. He's only got his undergarments on, and he runs away naked, and they hold on to his undergarment. It's purposeless following, purposeless doing things that there's no meaning for. He nearly got caught because he was quite anxious, what's happening to Jesus? But he had no plan. He had nothing. He couldn't do anything about it. And I have been definitely in this situation. Not that I lost my clothes, but I have felt uncomfortable because I have been doing nothing in church. I do activities. I help out here, help out there, but I've got no interaction with non-Christians. I've got no occasions where I'm bringing people to church. And I nearly lost my way. Inactivity and purposelessness is a problem for us. And what was Jesus' response? Jesus said, the scriptures must be fulfilled. Jesus knew there was no moral ground, no legal case against him. He also knew that this was his Father's plan. This was the plan that was devised ages ago. God wanted to save us from condemnation, and therefore Jesus had to go and die on the cross and rise again. His plan was in motion. His plan was to build relationships with us. We are to start the Garden of Eden relationship again. Scriptures must be fulfilled. The plan of salvation is ongoing. We are part of this plan. It started with the early church, and God continues to reach out through us, his church, to touch lives and touch all creation. In Mark 16:14, Jesus rebuked his disciples' lack of faith and commanded them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Jesus said, the scriptures must be fulfilled. We are part of this plan, a continuum, a series of which there is no noticeable difference to its adjacent parts. What the disciples encountered, we are encountering. What the disciples did later, we are meant to be doing. The rest of Mark 16 records the disciples' response. 16:20, it says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Three things are mentioned. Went out and proclaimed everywhere. The Lord worked with them. The message was confirmed by accompanying signs. These are our duties and our promises. Don't be afraid to take these up. We have heard so many life-changing miracles happen here in this church. And I today praise God for one of them, well, two of them. God is working, and work has to be done by us. And it accompanies with signs. Blink and you will miss it. My experience coming here to this country from Malaysia. In Malaysia, when I was 17, the Lord touched me. He absolutely changed a violent, depressed young man into who I am today. And I was so happy with this. He changed my life. I wanted everybody to have this. I went around everywhere. I was so excited about it that there was this lift at college I was in. And this lift attendant used to take me up and down. And I used to talk to him about my faith. And I used to talk to him about how I was saved. And he became a Christian after a while. He went to church. I took him to the Tamil Methodist Church, which I was in. And amazing things happened. When I came to England, I was there shouting out the messages. But you know, after a while, it kind of changes you. It makes you less enthusiastic because people don't want to hear. But I found that God creates opportunities. It's harder. It's like, you know, when I go digging the ground here, back of my garden, it's so hard. It's all clay. But you know something? The plants that come out of it, I get wonderful broccoli. I get wonderful spinach. I get wonderful things coming out of it. And even today, I didn't do anything in my garden. It's in a mess. I've got berries all over the place. I had strawberries, punnets full. The Lord finds opportunities. And we have to change our ways of doing things. But God gives us. And the ground is there. It's harvestable. But one other thing that I found. I used to bring new friends who are non-Christians to church. And I found that the church or services were so boring. And people just couldn't, they didn't identify with services. So they never came back. And this one guy said, "Oh, Lionel, I'll never enter church again. It's so boring. It's not for me." And it's sad that they've missed out on the love that we can give. As a matter of fact, I invited a group of Mormons, six of them, to a church. And they came for a Christmas service. And they were all dressed in their suits. And, Is it on? They were all dressed in their suits and name badge. After the service, everybody avoided them because they had this name badge on, Mormons. They avoided them. I brought them to church because I thought they can see love. They can see my family. And nothing of that happened. There was no love that they shared. They went home thinking that we were snobs, that we were a club. They didn't see Jesus. We are all in this together. We are the laborers to harvest God's field. The scriptures must be fulfilled, Jesus said. We must make Jesus significant in our everyday living. We must respond appropriately when we meet struggles or upsetting situations. Remember, inappropriate actions are stumbling blocks to the gospel message. It restricts our ministry. Inaction keeps us from having a relationship with God. We flee from His presence, and He is not with us as a result. Fulfill scriptures. Proclaim the good news to all creation. And the promise is this: whoever trusts and is immersed will be saved. Whoever does not trust will be condemned. Signs will follow.